Joining me in our makeshift studio, Lorraine Schroger. Good morning. So this is your normal time for coming to school.
Absolutely.
Every morning. Right, 5:30, you here.
Yeah.
Really, really? And one doesn't need to be an expert in body language to tell you she's lying through her teeth. There's no way. But the school is clearly busy this time of the morning.
Every morning. We probably have about 85 kids on a given morning. And for one reason or other, that they're on the campus,
right? Which is remarkable.
Beautiful.
It really is, and they're actually running up and down hills. I suppose you can't run down them unless you run up there. Exactly. But it's phenomenal. Are the activities that take place every single morning?
Yeah, we have different age groups that do various sports.
Mm-hmm.
Twice a week, you'll have the athletes, you'll have rugby guys, you'll have the netball players, you'll have tennis.
So this campus is busy from what time in the morning to what time at night?
Probably at this stage, because we have the Purim play coming up soon.
Of course.
Probably from about 6 in the morning until 9, 10 at night. Very
phenomenal.
Busy place.
Absolutely, absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
How long have you been head of schools?
This is my 5th year.
And tell us about how things have changed, what you're seeing, your vision.
Well, I've been at King David, this is my 37th year.
Wow.
So certainly I've seen real changes, and good changes, and essential changes that have to happen. Certainly since I became head of school, certainly I've had to stamp my own identity on the school, and I think that we're doing magnificent things, as you will hear during the course of the morning.
Right, and give us tell us some of the things that have changed over the last while, and I'm assuming that it also reflects a change in society.
Yes,
because we have changed,
right,
as a global society, as a Jewish community, as South Africans. We're evolving, and we're evolving very, very quickly.
Absolutely. So I think that one of the things that we obviously pride ourselves with is that this is a community school,
mm-hmm.
and because it's a community school, it has to reflect what the community is doing. So as us, you know, I think that just from a Jewish point of view, we have to acknowledge that we have children that are coming from very religious homes to probably children whose parents are not even affiliated at some level. So from a Jewish point of view, we accommodate, I would think, most people. Educationally, which is fundamental, we've had to, the other day I actually walked around the school and I saw all these children sitting in desks. Not easy for them. They are able to do multiple things at one given time.
Right.
So your teaching and your teaching pedagogy and your practice has to reflect, what the kids will buy into, what the kids will take as their own and teach accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a well-known concern that a grade 3 teacher, for example, that teaches the same class for 25 or 30 years, gets kind of stuck in that same routine, because every year they're starting the same thing over and over again. How do you deal with that?
So you're absolutely right, but I think that it's incumbent on a school to be able to move teachers, to be able to introduce change. I think you'll hear later in the morning our really innovative curriculum that we've introduced. Two years ago, that children at school, specifically in grade 8 and 9, were bored. We radically shifted our curriculum. Our children have core subjects, but our kids have electives. They're able to choose and to take ownership of their own learning. Of course, you have to assist teachers, because you're right. We have practice that we've been doing for many, many years,
right,
and we believe it's best practice.
Right, and
so,
it's worked.
And it's worked,
right,
but it's not going to work if we continue just banging on and doing the
right
same thing all the
right
time. So the reality is that we with the help of various different people, we come in, they help the staff, they look at various different forms of assessment, various different forms of including technology into our teaching. And I think that for the most part it's working, but it takes time.
I read an article, interestingly enough, and I spoke to somebody over the weekend, where they were saying that there is, in Silicon Valley, a complete shift, actually, away from technology at school.
Mm-hmm.
And they're now saying, hold on a minute, it's all very well that we're encompassing and embracing technology because our kids do, but maybe in some ways it's better to keep our schools technology free. I don't even understand how that is possible. I think you're facing a tsunami with a bucket, as far as I'm concerned, and you might as well understand how to channel that water. That's my personal view. I'm interested in yours.
So, I mean, I think that technology in itself is not an end. You know, I think that if we're believing that technology is the only way and that, you know, teachers but ultimately one day won't have a place, that's not true. But it's the way that you use technology, and it's the purpose. It's the what your overall philosophy is in teaching. That is important. So if technology is being used in being able to develop specific skills to teach children to use technology responsibly, to use it collaboratively, to use it in a way that will serve them in an ever-changing world for the, I just happened to have an opportunity to speak to a parent yesterday who's in fashion, and she was saying, you know, children need to understand, or people need to understand, that fashion today, shopping today, retail today, everything is so different. So how do we teach children what it's going to be to be able to create a business that's completely online and not have a shop at Sandton City? So I think that's what we know about technology.
Absolutely fascinating.